have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
God bless you. I am Apostle Irvin Whitlow, and I want to invite you to listen to Making Marriage Meaningful. Join me as we talk about marital matters. It's real. It's raw. It's relevant. Every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on Elation Radio.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Do you have a gift-giving budget? Believe it or not, Christmas is less than 4 months away. So if you do not have a budget for gift giving, now is definitely the time to get started, to begin setting funds aside. This will minimize the debt and corresponding stress that goes along with not developing a budget. Giving should be a blessing, but when it is accompanied with debt and stress, I am sure it doesn't feel like a blessing. I know for that very reason, many opt out of giving gifts because they cannot find the joy in giving when it means that they are left with significant debt. Still, God made it clear that it is more blessed to give than receive. We have the privilege of being able to give to help people. It really is a privilege and an opportunity. God doesn't need us. He has an endless supply of finances. He can get the money where it needs to be. But he allows us the chance to be used by him in the process, knowing that we will benefit from being used by him. As we give, God already has a plan to give back to us in greater measure. Most of us are familiar with this principle. However, we have difficulty figuring out how to take care of our personal needs with money left to spare on gifts for others. Developing a budget and remaining disciplined in your plan will provide the opportunity to truly experience the joy of giving. No debt, no stress, simply pure joy. You don't have to set aside large amounts of money to develop a healthy giving budget. If you set aside just $2 a day, for 4 months, you develop a giving budget of $250. Once you develop your budget and set aside the funds, when you begin shopping for gifts, be sure to stay within your budget. Don't be tempted by the excitement of shopping or the holiday spirit to spend beyond your budget. Remember, some of the best gifts for friends and family are handcrafted, baked, or simple tokens of thoughtfulness. You should also consider giving to someone less fortunate by way of your church or a charitable organization. Or simply purchase a few meal gift cards and give them along with a prayer or encouragement card to the homeless person that you pass on the street every week. Giving is a privilege which will bless others while also blessing you beyond measure. Develop your gift-giving budget. Once you've developed it, stay within your budget and watch the blessings flow. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Elder Ernest D. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. This week, we remember the life and legacy of Lee Andrew Williams. He was born on July 28, 1946. He began performing gospel music as young as the age of 8. He sang with his uncle, a member of a group called the Gospel Stars. He put together a companion group featuring Williams and his 3 siblings. Williams' uncle also formed a group called the Spiritual QCs in 1962, QC, which stands for Qualified Christian Singers. When the group broke up in 1968, Williams took the name for his own group. Although the Spiritual QCs toured extensively, off and on, over the last 3 decades, it wasn't until the 1990s that their music became well-documented. Williams' group peaked commercially with the song Good Time, which entered the top 10 of Billboard's Gospel Albums charts. It earned the group Traditional Quartet of the Year at the Gospel Music Excellence Awards and was nominated for Best Gospel Album at the Soul Train Music Awards. Williams' group continued to record and tour to great acclaim throughout the mid-2010s. Lee Williams and the Spiritual QCs, an American quartet group originating in the city of Tupelo, Mississippi, which has been in existence since 1968. The group started recording around 1970. The gospel quartet included Lee Williams as lead singer, Al Hollis as guitarist and background vocalist, Patrick Hollis as background singer, Leonard Shumpert as second lead vocalist, and new full-time bassist, Tommy Harris. Lee Williams was also co-lead singer with Willie Legon. Lee Williams and the Spiritual QCs went from being a part-time gospel group to Recording of the Year. The group's first recordings were a series of 45 RPM records on the Designer label of Memphis, Tennessee. The singles were usually one side led by Willie Legon and the other by Lee Williams. After Legon's departure from the group, Williams took over lead duties and renamed the group. The change included his name out front. The first national recording was in 1996 at the Georgia-based gospel label MCG Records. Jesus is Alive and Well was their first album, which included the breakout recording I've Learned to Lean. Their second album, Love Will Go All the Way, was released in 1998, which included a few songs from their first album and set the stage for their third. Released in 2000, named Good Times, this album reached the top of Billboard's Gospel Album Charts in November. During that following year, the group won Traditional Quartet of the Year at the Gospel Music Excellence Awards and was nominated for Best Album at the Soul Train Music Awards. In 2002, the group recorded their fourth album entitled Right on Time at the Temple of Deliverance Church in Memphis. When the recording finished, the album was released to the public in the spring of 2003. In 2005, they released their fifth album entitled Tell the Angels in Memphis Again. In 2006, they released a compilation of songs on the album Soulful Healing. In the 2000s, they went to Soullink Live, then the second one, then a third one. In 2007, they released So Much to Be Thankful For. They did a few other compilation albums, including My Brother's Keeper, The Collection, in 2009. Also in 2009, they released their seventh album entitled Fall on Me. In 2011, they released their eighth album, Living on the Lord's Side, at the Greater Travelers Rest Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. In 2015, they made their last album, another compilation entitled Memphis Gospel Live. For the rest of their singing time, they went to many places in the South. Lee Williams retired from the group after being diagnosed with dementia. They did a retirement concert with Lee's son, Cece. They also brought back a member to sing Running For My Life. Here's this week's top 10 gospel quartet songs being brought to you by Gloryland Gospel. Number 10, Bobby Wilson and the Chosen One with Do You Know Jesus. 9, Good to Me by the Brown Boys. 8, Pastor Austin Hill and Renewed with Bless My Soul. Number 7, The Gospel Legends, Get Right Church. Number 6, The Gospel Miracolettes with God Did a Wonderful Thing. Number 5, The Sons of God, Can't Make It Without You. 4, James Spann and the Spann Brothers with Reunion. 3, The Gospel Incredibles with Roll Back the Curtains. 2, The Legendary Ingram X with Until I Die. Our new number 1 song for September of 2021 comes from the McDuffies, Never Forget What He Does. That's your top 10 gospel quartet songs for this week and your tribute to Lee Williams. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter. And you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can hear Nina Taylor right here on The Pastor's Corner every Thursday night at 10 p.m. And also, by way of announcement, you can join Nina Taylor on the Gospel Express with yours truly on your local radio station, wherever you may be listening. Today, we're going to sort of kind of take it easy. We're only going to try to do an hour. And if we go above and beyond that 1 hour, it's not because of anything that I've said or done or anything that I've come up with. Nonetheless, I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard, Jr., your host for The Pastor's Corner. And I want to welcome you to tonight's show. Here we are, the 9th of September. We're about to get into a new season, so to speak. This is around the time when we refresh, we reset, and we put ourselves in a position where we can get ready to go forward in the year. Ordinarily, I would plan out the calendar year, but lately God has been shifting and changing because of what's happening in the earth realm and around us. We're here at the point now where we're going to kind of take it show by show and wait and see what God has to say. Without further ado, let us find out who is actually with us tonight. As always, leading off, he has been with me since the second year of this show's inception and has walked side by side with me ever since. I want you to just welcome my dear brother from another mother, Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Apostle, how are you tonight?
Okay, this is not a singing competition, but I feel good, man. I'm grateful to be here. Man, you know, we've been through some stuff on this show, but God has certainly kept us and has, you know what I've realized? He finally added to the show. You remember when we started, it was just us, and we couldn't get Dr. Kimmy in for nothing. It was just us, and once in a while we'd get a business. We can take breaks and vacations and let them do stuff. But, hey, we're glad to be here. We say welcome to our listening audience. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Hey, man, I know exactly what you're talking about, bro, because I mean, I thought about those things. I even went back and listened to a show from 6 years ago, man, and we're just as relevant today as we were back then. But listen, let me get everybody in here, and I'm hoping he's with us tonight. I tried to get an accountability by way of text so that I'll know who is here so I don't have to call for folk who ain't going to show up. But we're going to step out on a limb and check and see from New Haven, Connecticut, the chief prelate for volume of the book International Deliverance Ministries. Apostle Vinton L. Smith, are you with us tonight?
I don't know. You got it. What? Uh-oh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just keep me calm, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, how y'all doing tonight out there in that radio land? Praise God.
Well, Apostle Willow, apparently he let Sister Hag the bag loose tonight, so, you know. She ain't doing announcements, but she is representing everybody. Welcome, sir. Thank you for taking the time to join us here tonight. Well,
yeah.
Let's do some other checking. We have to get our producer in here. We usually save the best for last, but we have one other, and then we do have a newcomer tonight. I want to take a minute to say hello. And Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and I want you to do two things, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. When you come on, say hello, and then tell me what is October 9th down in St. Louis all about. I'm kind of interested. Talk to me.
Hi, this is Kimmy Kim, and I'm in the building. This is an event hosted by Messenger. He has a podcast on Elation Radio on Fridays, and he's a pastor. He has a pastor church, and he wants to do, we normally will do something called the Gospel Explosion, and what it is hip-hop music at its best.
Okay.
In the form of, gospel. So.
Oh. Yes.
And they dope. They can spit. So they dope. it's gonna be body, but it's gonna be gaudy. Yeah, I like that.
Say body? Lord help the woman. Oh my God, she needs some help. The medication's on the way, I promise you. We'll talk about, get into that a little bit later on before we close out the show. But I want to say welcome to our used-to-be newest member, but now she has become a pro in her own right. She comes to us as often as she can. We know her work schedule won't allow her out of the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. Please say hello to Minister Paula Henderson. How are you, my dear sister?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you are as well. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I hope all is well with everyone. Good to be here.
Amen. And I want you to do me a favor and grab Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. I'll have you read tonight. Now, let me, I know Pastor Anna Henderson said she would be late coming on, and when she comes on, Dr. Robinson, please let us know. and we can actually include her in tonight's discussion. But I want to welcome the newest newcomer. This is her first time being with us on the Pastor's Corner, and I so greatly appreciate her. I wanted to know that we love her. She is the pastor, I hope I get this right, of New Hope in Bridgeport, Connecticut, now fellowshipping in New Haven, Connecticut. My dear sister, and a member of the Volume of the Book International Deliverance Conference. Please, 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 Sister Kimmy, give me a great big hand for Overseer Mary McPherson. How are you, my sister?
Praise the Lord. How are you? I'm fine. I'm good. I'm great. God is good. Amen. And good to be on tonight.
Amen. Well, we're going to look to hear from you, to glean from what God has shared with you as we move forward. We welcome you. Panel, say hello to Overseer McPherson, please.
Hello. To Overseer.
Hello,
all right.
Here.
Okay. Well, we are just about ready to get started. Tonight, I wanted to do something a little different. But before we go any further, Apostle Whitlow, I'm going to have you pray us in tonight. And then Minister Henderson, if you will be so kind as to get Philippians, the third chapter, verses 10 through 16. We'll see what we can do with this tonight. And whatever we get done tonight, we'll work with it. Okay. And we'll go from there.
Our Father and our God, Lord, we just thank you tonight for the opportunity to have this life, health, and strength that you have blessed us with. And we thank you for the opportunity to come on this podcast that we may be able to talk about matters, oh God, that concern the body of Christ, the world at large, families, and different things that you have placed upon us. We pray tonight that, Father, you would give us the tongue of the learned, that we would know how to speak a word in season to that one that is weary. Bless each and every one who has joined in. Oh, God, we pray that you would move in a supernatural way. Bless those who are listening, that they will receive from your table in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that the enemy is defeated. We have total victory, and we give you praise, honor, glory, dominion, majesty, power is thine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. For those of you that are just joining us, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and Minister Henderson will give you the reading from verse 10 to verse 16. Without further ado, it's in your hands, my dear sister.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, beginning with verse 10. Reads as follows. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already obtained all of this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Amen. We thank God for the reading of the word of God for the precious people of God. Well, tonight, and we don't know if it's going to be a one-night stand or if it's going to turn into an ongoing series. I never know what God's going to do. One thing is for sure, whichever direction he wants to go in, I want to be ready, willing, able, as well as somewhat prepared to get there. I want to talk tonight about the blueprint of a fresh start. Now, that sounds a little different, and I'm coming from this angle. Many of us have computers And sometimes when our computers start acting up, we have to do what's called a reset. We have to do we have to recalculate our computer or reset our computer. And there are three buttons that I'm aware of, and maybe I'm not exactly right, and if I'm not, somebody help me out with this. There is the control button, the alt button, and the delete button. And I'm told, I've done it a couple of times myself, when you hit control, alt, and delete, it creates a reset and sort of kind of refreshes your computer to the point and place where it'll take you back to its originality or where its original state of being. And what I'm trying to correlate in that illustration is there are times in our lives when we lose track of where God wants to take us. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how to maintain your focus, and it was a great discussion. The women started it even last month. But from that, I started thinking about some other things, and here we are in September. We are into the ninth month of the year, and we're at the start of the fourth and final quarter of the year 2021. And yet there are some who started out good in 2021 and had a goal and had a purpose and they had a plan and they wanted to move forward in some things and they were willing to give up this to get that, willing to go here so that they can be where they ought to be in their place in God. And somewhere down the line, by the end of January for some, early February for others, late March for yet others, and somewhere in the month of May, those plans, those dreams, those aspirations, and those goals seem to have dissipated. The enthusiasm that they had in the very beginning seemed to have come down to nothing more than a fizzle. They were waiting and wanting to be explosive, waiting and just getting ready to move forward. They had these big plans, and in their mind, they were going to conquer the world. Yet the world came and conquered them. It's sort of kind of like the Malcolm X thing, when he once said, "I didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on me." And I use that analogy to get to the point and place to help us to really understand and realize that sometimes you just have to start. I didn't say start over, because when you talk about starting over, you talk about taking everything that you may have laid down to this point and throwing it in the trash and creating a brand new plan and going a total different direction. Sometimes it's not so much the direction that you have to go in. Sometimes you just have to go back to the very beginning of when you first originated this plan. And so from there, this is where we are going to work from tonight. Here is my first question. In order to have a fresh start of any sort, somebody please answer me, what is it that I need to do? And we want to cater to the listening audience. Before you answer that, let me say welcome to those of you who are listening by way of radio. We've not done social media tonight for whatever reason. It was just in my spirit to just omit social media. If there's somebody else doing it, then I welcome your audience. But right now, we are just going to deal with our people who are listening by way of radio. So my question tonight to the panel at large, whoever desires to answer this question for me. What does it take to begin a fresh start? Somebody talk to me.
Well, let me go first so I can beat these other scholars and not try to come behind them. If you want a fresh start, the first thing is you have to recognize that where you are is no longer valid, no longer has any value. It has no more potential to get you where you need to be. You've run out of options, solutions. You run out of directions and routes and everything. So you basically hit a dead end. So in order, and in some cases you might have just track and gotten so far away that you don't even know what it looks like to be on the right road. So then that is the opportunity to make a start. You have to come to the place where you recognize that where you are and what has taken place has gotten you into a place that is no good for you. For instance, I'll say it this way. your decisions need to be changed to better choices, because your decision of where you are, where you went yesterday, that got you where you are today. All right, but a choice is looking at where you went yesterday, wanting to be somewhere different tomorrow. So here's the reality. If you don't make a better choice today, someone will make a decision for you to end up in the very same place on tomorrow. And I'm going to leave it right there.
All right. I like that. That's beautiful. That is magnificent. Anybody else want to add to it and just give me your take on it? And really, I'm just looking for your opinion. Keep in mind, there's a listening audience wanting to know, how do I get out of my rut? What does it take to start to get to the fresh start? Come on and talk to me. I don't want to call names. I just want whoever you are just to speak up. And there is silence.
Well, I have something to say.
Go ahead.
I would say that to have a fresh start, you have to start with having a vision of where it is that you want to go. You have to see yourself where you are, decide where it is I want to go, and when you have that vision, then you have to start thinking, okay, what do I need to do to accomplish this vision? Who is it that I need to have around me, you know, to make sure that this vision can come to pass? What tools, what do I need? What resources do I need to help bring this thing to pass? So you can start planning on how it is going to go. And then you also have to make sure that you start thinking about what is stopping me from getting there? What's hindering me? And then figure out a plan to address those hindrances so that you can get from point A to point B.
Okay. I like that. That's beautiful. Anybody else want to jump in, chime in? Because, I mean, there's so much that could be said here, because there are some scriptures we left out, and I should have started way up a little higher, but I started at 10 for the sake of keeping the reading down to a limit. But is there anybody else that wants to add to what's being said?
I would say that along with the vision, I love that, because you need a vision. You first must forgive yourself. Sometimes we tend to hold on to the past and we have regrets and we don't forgive ourselves. And then you ask God to forgive you. And then ask God for your vision, because God is the beginning, the ending of everything. And he knows you more. I know he knows me more than I know myself. And he is all-knowing, all-powerful. And he is the Alpha and the Omega. But in order for you to get a fresh start, you have to know who that's – you have to have someone to help you with that. And the best way I can see is God is the only way, because if man could do it, we would not need God. And so I have come to realize that when you understand who you are in the Lord, he will give you, like, a life that is so amazing. He will give you vision. He will give you peace, joy, love in your heart. He will give you this sense of peace, the serenity that no matter what is going on, the COVID, you know, Ida, so many hurricanes and earthquakes and death, and you have bad news here. You have people hating on you for no reason over here. You have people talking about you for no reason here. But you still have this peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's like amazing feeling. So when you have that peace that is only generated by God, who can hurt you? Who can box with you? So it begins with a vision, like I really believe with Minister Henderson, as well as the first person is God. You have to begin with God, because he knows you better than you know yourself, better than your parents know yourself. I mean, he is all-knowing. He is so amazing. I mean, I just don't know how anyone can live on this earth and it's so unstable without God. I'm looking at this the weather. It's so unstable. I'm looking at the time. The time is just like flying by, and God is coming back. He is. So that is my comment.
All right. Well, I appreciate you so much. Apostle Smith, what are we going to get out of you, sir?
Let me begin before he...
Okay, wait a minute. Overseer McPherson, once again, we want to hold you, make you the best for last.
Let me get for him because he's going to sum it all up pretty much. But I thank God for the scripture tonight. Thanking the Lord because truly it's a good topic. And I like the ninth verse. And it says, and be mm-hmm. found in him, not having mine own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You got to count yourself lost for Christ.
Yes.
You got to get in a position that is not me. It's Christ that liveth in me. And when mm-hmm. we begin to get out of that and start beginning to say what we're doing, look what I'm doing, you're losing mm-hmm. value in the time that, you know, you should be building a place for Christ. And that's what he was an educated, well-educated, he was authentic, he was a pedigree, you know, he was pure in his mm-hmm. nationality and everything. He had knowledge upon knowledge, but he said, I count all of that loss for Christ. It's like dung, it's like nothing to me. And this is where I feel like a lot of times we have to realize where we are and where we want to go, like the vision. The vision, yes, you need a vision. Every good, successful company takes mm-hmm. time out to plan. They take time mm-hmm. out. Okay, what we're going to do in the next 5 years, what we're looking for in the next 5 years, what's going to be our strategy for getting there. And then the 10th uh-huh. verse I like because it says, that I may know him. Who's the him? Do you know him? Are you partaking of him? Is he a part of you? High glory, hallelujah, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. These are the things uh-huh. that we got to ask ourselves and identify and say, do I really know? Do I really know him? Some people don't even know who the CEO of their company that they're working with. You should always know the head, huh?
All right.
Glory to God.
All right.
You always should seek to go to the head so that you'll know, oh, this is my CEO. That should be a common thing. So if God is our CEO, then we need to know him. We need to be about him. We need to be pleasing in his sight, not my sight. What do you want me to do, Lord? And that's where we get the fresh start at. When we go back, things are standing still, stalemated. Then we need to go back to God and say, okay, now where do I go from here? But it said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. So if our paths are not being directed, then we got to go back to the source. I'm going to stop now. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Saints don't want to suffer this day and time. They want everything to be rosy and happy. But when pain hits, when suffering hits, God, why is this happening to me? Why? Why? But if you know the power of the resurrection, you know the power of the suffering. Amen.
Amen. Well, Apostle Smith, bring us on this first opening discussion.
And right there, and
you know what you could have did, Apostle Man? You could say, yeah, what she said.
And now I'm going to hand it over to Apostle Willow.
Listen, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, why am I put last after all these here scholars and college students, and then y'all want to come to a little kindergarten to close it out? Now, y'all not fair.
Okay.
That's because you're the dean. You're the dean.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Now, no, in sincerity, I had a call come in. Could you give me the question again?
Well, primarily we were asking the question, let me put it this way. In your mind, what makes up a fresh start, or what could be a viable cause to a fresh start? We'll simplify it that way.
Well, in all that I think about, I think you have to come first to the reality that what I am doing is no longer valid, is no longer working for me.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
There has to be something wrong. There has to be something else I need to do, another way I need to approach whatever it is that I was trying to accomplish, because whatever I'm doing now has no more validity to what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And when you run out, or when you start to veer off, let me not use the word run out. When you see yourself veering off, even in a car, if your car starts veering, what do? We grab a tighter hold to the steering wheel to make sure the car going where we would like to go, not where it's starting. And I think that's what a lot of people do. They see themselves going off, but don't grab themselves and say, hey, stay right here where you ought to be going. And they just veer right off and make a mess.
So I would say this, and hearing everybody's comments, I so appreciate each and every one of you, because each and every one of you are right. And as I had said earlier, there were scriptures that were left out, and they were left out on purpose. Overseer McPherson, you did hit on a couple of those scriptures that we had left out. Going back to verse 7, you know, I like this. And I'm going to bring these in now, and we're going to start working our way back down to 10. Paul says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version. He says, but whatever former things were gains to me, as I thought then, these things, once regarded as advancements in merit, I have come to consider as loss, absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given my life. And so in looking at that seventh verse, I want to say, and thank you again, each of you, because each one of your comments and your statements that you shared really helps an individual to recognize something is broken in the system that we are working in and working under. Now, as born-again baptized believers, God purposes each and every one of us, gives each and every one of us a plan, and has something in mind for every one of us that we're going to do, something that we're going to be instrumental in implementing as the plan of God goes forth for the communities that we work in, for the cities that we live in, for the states that we reside in, for the regions that we have made ourselves available to. And so when we look at what Paul says, I'm looking at all these things, and I thought these were gained. I thought it was something when I got with Bishop so-and-so and Apostle such-and-such. I was with the in crowd. I was working with this group. I had the chance to go work with Dr. Bobby Bones. I'm changing names to protect the not-so-innocent. Anyway, I said it. Anyway, let's move on. But to do these different things that we're doing, we looked at them as something that was a gain, something that was going to open a door for for us, something that was going to make a way for us, something that was going to, in some cases, make us famous, bring some power and some prestige to our namesake and put us in a position where we will be revered by the hundreds and, in some cases, the thousands. And we found out that these things that we regarded as advancements, that they would be merits, that they would carry some type of weight. We finally came to the conclusion that it was an absolute waste of time. And so here we find ourselves having to revamp what it is that we were doing before, where we had to just change our pattern, change our way of thinking. And I'd like to say this too, if I can present this to the panel, do we think that there are points in times when stinking thinking needs to be shifted and changed before we can make any kind of change? And I say this with this cause in mind. When we talk about change, before we could talk about fresh start, we have to talk about decision making. And when we talk about decision making, we have to understand that any time we get ready to shift out of any season into that next season, a decision was made to make that shift or to make that change. It was in the moment that we made the decision to make that shift. That's when the new season began. To me, that was the beginning of that quote-unquote fresh start. That was the point there. Paul just simply says here in verse 7, to just wrap it all up, he counted everything as absolutely worthless when it comes down to Christ and the things that pertain to godliness and the purpose to which God has given. Does anybody agree or disagree with my comment? And I don't mind whether you do either way, because we're here for open discussion. Anybody?
I would agree. I would agree, because I'm a firm believer that there can't be change without change, meaning that if your mind not redirected and reconstructed and refocused, or if you will, reset, then nothing else in your life will do the same. I believe, and this is a quote that many people are now using. If you train your mind, and then your body will follow. So if you put your mind there first, the rest will come in line. Put it in your mind. Let me say this, because this is going to be famous. Get in your mind, the rest will come in line.
All right. Anybody else?
In that line.
All right. Come on, y'all. I know y'all got a lot of stuff to give. Somebody out there listening to us right now is looking for a way to make something happen, something that's going to make a change, not just for them individually, but for their family and for those that surround them. And see, a lot of times we forget the very fact that when God blesses us, he did not bless us just so we could be blessed. He blessed us so that others can benefit from the blessing that he's made us to be. And with that in mind, you know, sometimes you have to change people. Here's a saying that I always put out there, and like you, Apostle Whitlow, it may not become famous, but it should be something that you ought to consider. People are in my life personally, whether it's for a single word, whether it's for a few words, a sentence, a paragraph, a page, a chapter, several chapters, or throughout the book. People are in my life with purpose. On the positive side, it's to push me forward and to help me to get where God wants me to go. On the negative side, it could be to make sure that I falter and that I fail and that I stumble and that I become the failure that they're trying to tell everybody else that I am. And I'm saying that for this reason. My choice is, do I want to be successful in God's terminology of success, or do I just want to be successful in my terminology of success? And if I want to be successful in my terminology of success, I better be prepared to face failure. Because the truth of the matter is, when God is not in the plans, my plans are not established, therefore, more than likely, they will not succeed. Does that make sense to anybody?
Rich.
Go, Go ahead.
Rich, let me, go ahead. You said something. You said something a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about resetting and recognizing. You use the statement or the analogy of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about seasons is that each season has its own distinctive notification that I'm on the way.
That's it.
And when we talk about a restart or a refresh or doing it over again, there are notifications start to happen in our spiritual walk that says you need to try this again.
Uh-huh.
But what we do, like so many people do, with the season, it start getting chilly, especially around this time of year. You come out in the morning, it's not like coming out in June or July.
That's right.
But what do? Come right out the house, no little jacket, no sweater, and then they want to complain all morning about how cold it was when they came out the house.
My goodness.
But that chill that they felt was an indication something is different.
That's
than
right.
A few weeks ago. And what I'm saying is there are noticeable signs. There is a reason why I need to pay attention to a refresh, to a restart, to a do it again. And a lot of people ignore it.
Uh-huh.
Even with this, there is a small space of time, get ready to come, called autumn.
Uh-huh.
People come up this way by the busloads to see autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know that while they're riding and taking pictures and saying, ooh, ah, they're really looking at death in progress.
I'm sitting here listening, bro. Keep going.
And a lot of people are in danger, can see the danger, know that danger is going to take them to a place of dryness and falling away from God.
And they keep
right on looking at the fun time. Boy, I done turned auburn. I done turned orange. I done turned yellow. Yeah, but at the same time, baby, you're dying.
You're dying.
And you need to take a note. Mm-hmm. If you can see it, then you know what's happening.
That may be a good thing to a certain degree if you know where you are and what your status is. Meaning that if you know that you're dying, now you're going to be more cognizant of the time and more aware of what it is that you're dealing with. Because like you said, now we often look at autumn as a time of harvest, but let's look at what is harvest. Is not when you're putting the sickle into the crop, you are bringing the crop to its completion, to its end, to its death so that it could be a benefit. And now you're going to take me back to a passage of Scripture, and y'all know this is one of my favorite passages of Scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament. Right there in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So in our fresh start, we can understand why Paul said what he said in verse 7. that we have to count all things as worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose to which he has given to each and every one of our lives. But now let's look at verse 8. We might as well make our way down. He says, but more than that, I count everything a loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him. A joy unequal. For his sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage, that I may gain Christ. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version, and I'm going to tell you, that is a description and a goal that each and every one of us should strive for right then and there, to count everything as nothing compared to that priceless privilege of having the advantage of coming to know who Jesus is. We can sit here and say, I know Jesus, but do you really, and I think you said it already, Overseer McPherson, do you really know him?
Mm-hmm.
Really, think about it. Do you really know him? I mean, Jesus said on one occasion, my sheep know my voice and are known of me. What is it that if we're his sheep and we know his voice, when he speaks, why do we act like we deaf? Why do we act like we can't hear? Oh, God, she is just so beautiful. Look at her, 36, 24, 36, son. Leave that alone. Oh, but God, look, oh, my goodness, Lord, oh, my, and Lord, ladies, please forgive me. I'm going to try not to be too descriptive, but close enough. God, she's making me just stand up. She's making me weak in the knees. I want to do something with her. Son, leave her alone. You know, everything that looks like gold is not really the gold that it looks like. Every pretty package may not be a package that you need to open. I'll say this. And in my earlier day, and I'll say it for some whom I've spoken to. As a matter of fact, let me tell it in a story form. You may have heard this story before, and if you had, just say, I heard the story before. There was a story told of a young man who turned 21 and went out with his friends to celebrate his 21st birthday. And going out to celebrate his 21st birthday, they took him to this particular where he happened to come across. In this club were strippers who were up on stage, and this young man was enthralled with this one young lady who was up on the pole dancing. And while watching her on the pole, he said to his friends, I want to spend the night with her. She is beautiful. I like the way she looks. Her body is, oh, my goodness, how can we make this happen? So his friends arranged for him to spend some time with this particular stripper. They paid for the hotel, the whole 20 yards. The young man and the stripper went to this particular hotel, and they had the night of his life. They had the night of his life. He had never had a night that was so, in his mind, so filling and so sensual and so sexy. And the sex was just amazing and off the charts. And the young man laid in the bed and thought about all that they had just done and how excited he was. And so he fell off to sleep. He woke up that morning and noticed that the stripper was gone. And on the mirror, the stripper had written this message in lipstick: welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS. Sometimes it does not pay to hold on to useless, senseless stuff or want to go useless and do senseless things that's going to cost you your destiny. Does that make sense to anybody?
It makes a lot of sense.
Did that put you on sleep?
But
no.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are two issues. The first issue is that many people are not in position to hear from the Lord. Remember when Adam was in the garden after partaking of that fruit. Here God comes, where art thou? Adam's not in his normal place, his usual place. So he says, I heard thy voice in the garden. In other words, he's saying, I didn't know exactly where you were, but I knew you were somewhere around. And he said, I went and hid myself because I was naked, and I was afraid. I was ashamed. So people are oftentimes not placed to hear from the Lord. The other thing is there is the element in people that desires what is forbidden because they do not know how to discern what is foreign to God. So when you want what is forbidden because you don't know what is foreign, you fall. And that is what has happened with a lot of people. So they just don't hear God, and they're going after what is forbidden because they don't discern what is foreign.
All right. Anybody? Come on. Come on.
That's good, but like the part that the 10th verse says that I may know him. If you know him, if you have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will pull your tail string. It will let you know how, it will make a way for you to escape. The only way you walk into it is because you want to. If the Holy Ghost is abiding on the inside. Now, if the Holy Ghost is not abiding on the inside, you will stray. But if the Holy Ghost, and if it don't happen, then we have to go back to the Word. But it said it'll teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. And then when you start weighing off of that, something's going to tug at you to bring you back into it. But if you don't listen to the tug, now I had a temper, and I would go off in a minute. When I got saved, when I got ready to go with that temper, there was a nudge on me to let me know, pull it back, hold it back, don't say no more. That's why we need to know him and the power of his resurrection, how he suffered, how he came to die for us. Hallelujah, glory to God. How he gave his life for us that we might have a right to the tree of life. Now, I won't give it up because why? I want the tree of life. I want to go back with him. If our goals are in place, if our determination is in place, if our destiny is in place, you won't be so easy to give it up. But if you're not, if you're just wavering, if you're like a wavering person, a church goer, we got a lot of church goers. We got a lot of people with good intentions coming into the house of the Lord. That's where we got to know. That's why I said we got to know him, that we may know him. It's an individual affair. We can't save nobody, but the Holy Ghost will deal with each and every one to keep you on the right track if you listen, if you strive to hold on to it. Amen.
Well, listen, and I like that you keep stressing the phrase that I may know him. Anybody want to talk about what it means to know him? I mean, I'm trying to do this for the sake of those listening by way of radio or however they're listening. What does it mean to know him?
I think that whenever we talk about knowing him, I really think that it relates to having such a personal relationship with him that it produces a serious fellowship that produces a fruit of the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, because of the exchange that you encounter. There's a personal gravitation to the Lord and to his ways. Let me put it this way. When you want to know an individual, you take time with them to discover them. You take time with them to learn them, like their habits, and so on and so forth. And I believe in a nutshell that to know God, you have to really spend time with him, spend time in his presence, spend time seeking his face, seeking his heart, not his hand, seeking what his desire is, not what your desire is. That's just what I would say.
And I appreciate that. Anybody else? Go ahead.
Can I bring in Colossians 10?
Come on.
Colossians 1 and 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the scriptures say, now are you clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. So you got to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. Not only just a hearer, but you got to be a doer. Many people hear the word of God, but are they doing the word of God? Many people, just like I said, you need to know, it's just like a job description. When you get that job description, you know what your duties are. When you know him, you know what makes him happy. You know what gives him joy. You know what his needs are for you. And you're going to try to do what? You're going to try to stay within them. It said, come out from among them and be separated, said the Lord. We can't walk hand in hand with the world and think we're going to get the same results of being in the Lord. So you got to come out from them. You got to separate yourself. You are a chosen generation. God has chosen you to come out from among them. Now we got to know, it's a choice to make. Do I want to?
And also, I really believe also. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sister Kim.
Oh, I was just going to basically say it's very simple. The blind will see your light when you truly know God. You don't really have to say a word.
Right.
People will see
that
like light in you. I mean, it's
blind.
Like a lion. When a lion has his own presence, he doesn't have to say a lot. It's just his presence. People feel that anointed.
Mm-hmm.
People feel that spirit because I'm telling you, when you are when you have a relationship with the Lord, the world will call you strange. That's it. That's all I want to say.
It's amazing that you said that because I'm going to share another quick. Go ahead.
Also with that, you said that I may know him.
Mm-hmm.
It also refers to having an encounter, having an experience.
That's right.
Having seen him do some things that gives you a direct knowledge of him. Because sometimes we know something through somebody else's testimony or somebody else's words, but that I might know him. A personalized experience with the God who is the great I am that I am.
Yes.
I need to have an encounter with this Jehovah-nistic God. I need to have an encounter with this God that is more than enough. So when I say I know him, I'm not talking off of somebody else's experience. I'm talking off of mine. Here in this scripture, he's asking that I might know him. But isn't it funny? When we get to Romans 8 and 28, he says, can we know? So by the time he gets to Romans 8:28, he has done have the experience with God, and some others have had the experience with God. He does not come in asking to know. He says, and we know.
That's right.
You got to go through some stuff to really get to know Jesus.
Well, you know, and I can't disagree with that. You can't know that he's a healer if you've never been sick. You don't know that he's a deliverer if you've never had a dilemma that needed deliverance. You know, we can go on and on with this, but like I said, I was going to try to keep it just a little short tonight. This is a really good discussion, and I pray that everybody will come back and join us next week as we will begin to pick it up. But we got to do a little shifting and a little something different. And I do want to, as we had Dr. Kimmy Robinson share earlier today about October 9th and the special event that's taking place down in the St. Louis area, I do have to take a moment to tell of a special event that's taking place also on October 9th in North Haven, Connecticut. It's taking place at the Best Western Conference Room. And there are multiple nominees for different areas. It's the Hollerback Gospel Music Awards and Excellence Show. And among those being nominated and honored in this year's show is Apostle Vincent L. Smith.
Awesome.
And I do...
Awesome.
I want to say to you, sir, congratulations. It's been a long time coming. You've been a pillar and a staple in the community, and the time has come for them to recognize who God is in you and what God has done through you. We don't want your acceptance speech tonight. We'll wait till that night to get your acceptance speech. But if you feel like your speech is going to be 8 miles long, get the first 3 miles in tonight.
Yeah, let me get a piece of it out. I want to thank my bird, Huey. I want to thank my cat, Meow. I want to thank my dog, Bob. I want to thank my frog, Hop. And I forgot to thank, amen, my kangaroo bounce around. Amen, the rest of it I'll give at the bank.
That is a shame. Our special guests, we have two special guests, three special guest ministries. Our primary is Leandria Johnson. Many of you know her from Sunday's Best. And in this day and age, we all are familiar with the song, Lord, Deliver Me. The legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong is also going to be with us. And returning for the second time is comedian Willie Brown. Now, I don't want to let you know, it doesn't stop there, because coming to assist in the MC portions of the programming is our very own Sister Nina Taylor, who will be for the first time in the Connecticut area. So if you've never met her, I encourage you to get your tickets. I'm understanding they are $42 or something like that. It's on my Facebook page. I'm going to put it on other pages so that you could actually see what it is. The nominees, don't you worry about it. It's just those coming with you that we may have to take care of. And that's only because of the limited amount of space that we have. Normally, we're at Hill House or Cross High School. We have more than enough space, but now we're in a position because of COVID and because of what's going on, we're only allowed 500 total to be present. So when we reach that goal, we're done. We can't bring in any more. We're not going to put anybody's life in jeopardy, but you know, the bottom line is we want everybody to come and have the time of their life. But please come. If you are in the New Haven area, West Haven, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, wherever you're listening, and you are familiar with Apostle Vincent L. Smith, come help him celebrate his day. Please come help him celebrate his day. Okay? We bless God for you. The other thing that I wanted to share with you is for those of you that have been following Power to Stand, and we so greatly thank you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, for airing our services when they are available. Thank you again for doing it. It's such an honor and a privilege. And we want to let you know we are returning to our 12 noon start. We are going to implement or add back our phone line for those of you that want to be on the phone line. We're going to put that back in so that you can be part of that particular program. And we're also got a projector screen. For those of you who are on Zoom, you will be part of the audience, and the audience will actually be able to see you. And I'm telling you ahead of time, so if you show up in your camera with rollers in your head, half-dressed, and all your best parts is hanging out, that's your fault. I told you ahead of time. Nonetheless, let's move forward. Try not to show up to service in your bathrobe if you can. Anyway. Is there anything else we need to know? Yes, there is. This coming Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Or let me back up just a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm a little ahead of myself. Tomorrow night at 7:30, and while we have you on the phone, we want you to give that phone number. There is going to be a beautiful Bible study that you will want to be part of as New Hope brings forth their Bible study, and I'm not sure if Apostle Smith is still teaching and training or if Overseer McPherson is doing the teaching and training, but Overseer McPherson, if you'll be so kind as to give the phone number so that those who may want to join us will have the opportunity. That's every Friday night at 7:30. What's the phone number, sis?
I got to look it up. I'm not Apostle Smith. Hold on.
She says I'm not Apostle Smith.
Phone number.
Go ahead.
That phone number
Go
is
ahead.
774-267-2119.
Uh-huh.
Again,
one more.
That is 774-267-2149.
All right.
Amen. And then on Saturday morning, the men, and I invite every man that's under the sound of my voice and those who may be listening by way of radio, if you so desire to join a group of brothers that are really seeking the face of God and wanting to hear a word from the Lord, you can join us on the volume of the book conference line. That's going to be this Saturday at 9 a.m. That number is 601-801-984. Oh boy.
No.
Did I forget my own?
701.
Give me that number.
9814.
That's what it is. 701-801-9814. Boy, I got so many numbers in my mind, I can't keep up with them anymore. And then Saturday night, yes.
Go ahead.
And then Saturday evening at 10 p.m., we will be blessed and honored to be part of one of the fastest-flowing, fastest-growing shows that is on Blog Talk Radio in the Pastor's Corner with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, of which I'm going to step back and let him talk about his own show at this particular time.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know why you wanted to step back, and you are on it. You talk on it more than I do, I think. Listen, Making Marriage Meaningful, a show that is designed for those who are married, those who are in the stage of courting on their way to marriage, and those who have been divorced and yet considering remarriage. It is the most authentic radio talk show that there is because it's real, it's raw, and it's relevant. It is this Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, and 7 Pacific. And if you join in, you're going to hear some things that's going to help you along the way. All you have to do is call 646-564-9842. You're going to hear something that's going to bless you real good. And it is so potent that even if I'm not there, you would think I'm there because of the voices that you will hear on this particular podcast. Thank you so much for this space and opportunity to serve. The Lord bless you.
All right, and I cannot forget one of the other fast-rising shows that has been with us for a couple of years now, a little over a year and some change. I'm not exactly sure on how long. And it goes by the voice, and the host of that show happens to be here also, and I'm going to give him opportunity to talk about his show, if you will, Apostle Vincent L. Smith.
Well,
Amen. Join us on Tuesday night at 10:30 p.m. as we are on The Voice. Amen. And the Lord blesses us to talk about insightful and very potent scripture lessons. So come on in Tuesday night at 10:30 p.m. on that number, 646-564-9842.
Last but by no means least, and I'm going to ask Minister Paula Henderson to talk about the third Thursday of every month, when a group of anointed, God-appointed, demon-chasing, devil-stomping women get together, women of the word. And just want to just talk about it a little bit, sis. I mean, you can only say what you know, and you've been there enough to know.
Bless the Lord. Okay, so on every third Thursday, it's Women's Night. It's the night where the women get together. We talk about the Lord. We talk about issues that, you know, that impact women. We get into the Word and make sure that, you know, we can say something that would encourage, motivate, uplift, and just encourage you with your walk in the Lord.
Amen. See, I told you she's been there. And now, there is one more person, and she doesn't talk about her show at all, but I'm going to look for you to talk about, I can't think of the name of it. It's either Midnight with Dr. Kimmy Robinson or Midday. I'm not sure what it is. All I know is you got that time. Sister Kimmy Robinson, what's going on with you and your show?
Well, at Midnight, it's on pause right now, but I am doing Instagram, and I have been doing TikTok, just trying to test my waters, and it's called Morning Minute with Kimmy Kim. And basically, I try to give a inspirational nugget in the morning to those who are believers and non-believers, and to let them know that the best way to start your morning is a breakfast with the Lord, and that is with the Word. And so they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but a scripture a day, a God a day gives you that more strength. I really believe that when you have God first thing in the morning, that I really believe your day is better. So that is what that is about. But in 2022...
Before we get off the airways, we cannot let this show end without giving you, our listening audience, the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who the Spirit may be upon to share and to make the call to salvation, but I'm going to give this opening space right here for whomsoever God has placed. I mean, I can do it. That's not an issue. Any one of us can do it. But there are times when God anoints one to actually step forward. So is there someone who wants to invite the least, the lost, the less, the unloved, the unwanted, those who are in despair, those who are in mental anguish, to come to know, have a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? Is there one who will give the invitation?
I'd like to do it.
Yes, sir.
I want to say it this way to you who are listening and you do not know the Lord. This is a very good time for you. This is a very good time for you to be listening to this podcast, this broadcast. This is a very good time for you to be hearing about the word of the Lord and the Lord himself. And also, the good news for you is that he is still accepting lost souls. What do I mean lost souls? Those who do not know the Lord, those who are not in relationship with him, those who have not been joined to the body of Christ at large. This is an opportunity for you. Why? Because the Lord is accepting lost souls. He's still looking for those who are looking for a change in their life, those who are looking for a better life, those who are fed up with what's going on in their life because they have excluded him and included the devil. We've got news for you. You don't have to stay in the shape you are in. All you've got to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth. Watch this. Confess with your mouth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to save you from all of your sins. If you would pray this simple prayer with me, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. I need your salvation. Come into my life and save me. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I confess that you are Lord. And you said in your word that whoever calls on your name shall be saved. I thank you for saving me even now. Have your way in my life. Use me for your service. I'm yours to do as you please. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with us, please let us know via the Pastor's Corner on Facebook. And if you are somewhere, anywhere in the country, we need you to find a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, Bible-living church that is filled with the Spirit of God, because you need a spiritual family. We refuse to let you be a spiritual orphan. And I promise you, your life will get better, not because you're going to be trouble-free or worry-free, but you won't be God-free. You will have him in your life to lead you, guide you, guard you, govern you, protect you, direct you, instruct you, and then some. God bless you. Again, welcome to the body of Christ.
You have been listening to the Pastor's Corner. I'm your host, Pastor Ernest E. Richard Jr. with Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Minister Paula Henderson, and our newest guests who we're going to give a couple of words to, it, Overseer Mary McPherson. My sister, have you enjoyed yourself today? Did we lose her? Okay, well, bottom line is we either lost her. I know she didn't go to sleep. But anyway, we thank God for each and every one of you coming in and being with us tonight. Sister Kimmy Kim, please get that track ready because we're about to sign off. I don't know what happened to Overseer McPherson, but hopefully she will join us again next week. We thank God for you, our listening audience. If you have any questions, any concerns, as Apostle Whitlow already said, please reach out to us on the Pastor's Corner and let us know. And if there's a topic of discussion that you want to put out in the open, by all means, please leave us a message and let us know, because we're not so wrapped, tied, and tangled in our own agenda that we have to do it our way. God sometimes brings individuals into our lives and brings a topic of discussion to the surface that's pertinent, relevant, and needs to be discussed at that time. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Until we meet again, we will be gathering again on this coming, like I said, Saturday night for Making Marriage Meaningful. Then we'll gather again on this coming Tuesday at 10:30 with Apostle Smith for The Voice, and then we'll be back here at 10 p.m. next Thursday for the Pastor's Corner. Till that time, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of you. Till we meet again, God's blessing be upon you. Have a great night. Dr. Kimmy Kim, it is in your hands.
Press into his